Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wallings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wallings.
Hello, and welcome to the Drift Radio Show. Gary Wallings is not with us today. This is Ed Bondarenka, publisher of the Current newspaper, with my wife, Sherry. And with me is Alex Wassel.
Good to be here.
Welcome. So, the tone I am taking is because I've been exploring recently how radio broadcasters function. And whereas before, I used to do a lot of ums and uhs, as my son was fond to point out to me, I realized that polished radio producers are not afraid to leave long pauses between their phrases as they speak. What's the guy? Prager is an example of this. And I was really impressed by Prager. And we had Bill William Federer on a couple weeks ago. He was the same way. Very polished. No fillers. No gaffes. No ums. No Obama-isms. Right? So I was listening to, during commercials, during the Dana show last night, I flipped over to another radio station and heard another conservative talk show host who basically spoke like this. And our friends Gary and Ken called in, and I listened to them call in. And I thought, hey, if that works, maybe I should try that. So, once again, welcome to the Drift Radio Show, where we do the news.
You need to know.
Yes. I blew that myself on my end. So, that's the you need to go to thedailydrift.com, and that's where you find the news you need to know. Sorry, I really threw you off there. My fault, Alex. So, go to thedailydrift.com. Gary puts together a lot of information there. He does news aggregation, so that you can find out what's interesting and impress your friends with what you know about what's going on, as if they really care.
Well, I think they do, Ed.
I hope so. My friends do. That's why they're my friends. So, you know, let's see now. Then once again, you can find Alex Wassel on Facebook. It's just how it sounds, W-A-S-S-E-L-L. And you can find him. You can find me on Facebook. It's just like it sounds, B-O-N-D-E-R-E-N-K-A. Sure, whatever.
How many letters?
Yeah. So our show today is brought to you in part by the Hearing Clinic. And so if you have any concerns about your hearing, or your wife does, or you have concerns about your wife's hearing, or you wonder why the kids can't hear you, you should take them. But you need to visit the Hearing Clinic. There's an office in Brighton, and there's an office in Farmington. And I could give you both their addresses, but you may not remember them. So just call 810-225-2205 and ask for Dr. Amy Arnold. She's a great person. She's an audiologist. She has a good sense of humor, very personable. And she's there to help you so that you can have better relationships with people, so that when they talk to you, you don't go, huh? Reminds me of that joke. What's the joke go? It says, the wife says, have you heard a word I'm saying? And the husband says, that's an interesting way to start a conversation.
So, well, I don't know about that joke, but it's important to hear people and to actually listen.
What? I'm sorry, what'd you say? So, you should phone in today, and then we will listen to what you have to say, and we will listen intently. And everybody, now, don't get shook, okay? Don't get, you know, embarrassed or flustered and say, well, I'm not calling in. There's thousands of people listening. There's only 19 people listening. Ask Theron. And five of them regularly call in, and I'm one of them. So, you know, we're all friends here. Feel free to call in. We have a number of things that we're going to talk about. And then, of course, is what Joe Lenard wants to call in and talk about. So we've got him blocked out for 10 minutes here on the agenda for whatever Joe cares to misdirect us to when he calls in. So one of the things that I wanted to bring up today was the concept of Bill Schuette as our, well, let's just say the Republican candidate for the governorship, along with what's her face, whose name I don't even know or cannot remember, that he's chosen for his running mate.
Yes, the female running mate.
Former recording secretary out west, or something.
No, she was, I think she was a county clerk.
Yes, that's what I meant to say.
Yeah, right.
Yes,
right.
Yes. And if I really cared to look it up or somebody wanted to call in, they could tell me what her name is.
Well, Joe will help us out on that,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. Now, I'm interested in, because I've seen a number of posts on different conservative groups that I belong to on Facebook, which hasn't really blocked me yet. It hasn't affected me that I know of. Maybe I'm not conservative enough. That's scary. Ooh. So anyways, I see a number of people saying they are not going to vote for Schuette. Schuette is evil. Schuette is a despot in waiting. I'm like, are you really kidding me? But hey, your mileage may vary. You may very well be one of those people who feel that. And I won't mock you or ridicule you to your face when you call in with that opinion. Heck, I won't even do it. I'm really curious about this. If you think that, well, whatever your opinion is, should we have, as conservatives, should we vote for Schuette? Or should we sit one home or throw our vote away on the Libertarian candidate in hopes of building up that party so that we can have more legal pot? So obviously I don't have any opinions on the subject. I'm willing to hear what you have to say. What do you have to say, Al?
Well, Ed.
Lex?
Okay. Ed, it's, I've seen some posts that are negative on Schuette, but I think the bigger picture that we as Americans and patriots must look at is that you need a Republican in office. I don't care what Republican you get. You need a Republican in office. You can't have Gretchen Miller as governor of the state of Michigan.
With Abdul as her running mate?
Possibly, but yeah. It doesn't really matter
because
the program is the same. You know, it's open borders. It's
Sanctuary cities,
all that stuff, and also control over your lives. Because at least most Republicans will say, hey, you have an individual responsibility and a right to run your own life. And on the other side, that's not happening at all. They want more government control, and that is a bad thing.
You're right. Hey, watch this. Beetlejuice. Derek, would you put Joe on, please? Let's see. Which line? Maybe I should do that. Line one.
You better hit the line.
Talk one. Did I hang you up?
It didn't quite work because I think you only said my name twice. But you are trying to think of Lisa Posthumous Lyons, Kent County Clerk, daughter of former Lieutenant Governor Dick Posthumous.
There, I was wondering where I heard that name Posthumous before, because that was kind of vague, but I knew there was a political heritage there. So, okay, you're going to sit home, you're going to vote. What are you going to do? What do you encourage other people to do?
Well, I'm calling mainly because of one of the things Gary has on the drift, because it is...
The news you need to know. Sorry, Alex, come on. Stay with it, Alex, come on.
Oh, you mean I got to listen to Joe now, too?
Yeah, yeah. As Joe misdirects us from our conversation, as usual. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, you're supposed to pick up the cue no matter who gives it. But he'll learn, right? Yeah. But there's a story on there about ballot initiatives. Regardless of how you feel about any candidates, you can't sit home. You got to get out and defeat ballot initiatives. There's a couple of union ones on there. They want to meddle with the minimum wage again. They haven't learned their lesson from Seattle and all the other places that they've screwed with it, and tons of jobs were lost, and the economy's tanked. They want to tank Michigan's economy again. There's another one regarding family leave. Now, I'm all personally for people getting family leave, but that is not government's business to meddle in business. It doesn't have the constitutional authority, nor do the people, to demand a business give a certain set of benefits to someone.
Like
FMIA or
whatever
that is? We
are going
to return to the lost decade if these ballot initiatives pass, let alone with Gretchen Whitmer. You misquoted, said Gretchen Miller. Gretchen Whitmer gets elected.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, I have the feeling that if people stay home from, whether, let's say, don't get excited about voting for the Republican gubernatorial candidate, then they are not even going to show up and vote for or against other issues that they should. So, anything else, Joe?
No, the big concern is, like you said, if they're not enthused, that they stay home and all these other things. The other one is the voter, not politician initiative, the redistricting sham.
Oh, yeah.
Complete scam that is looking to change the way we redistrict. It has nothing to do with gerrymandering. It has to do with who controls the gerrymandering. And they're looking at having Gretchen Whitmer as governor. So even if we control the legislature, that would do the redistricting. No, instead the Democrats would be gerrymandering the districting because it's done by a panel.
Right, an unelected panel.
Is blow up government, expand government, create 20-some positions for more political hacks and cronies to get jobs on the government dime.
Once again.
Balloon the budget again. But the final deciding vote goes to an appointee of the governor. And if that's Gretchen Whitmer, that means they are gerrymandering the districts rather than the Republican legislature.
Or rather than the elected representatives of the people, which is the
Absolutely.
Way it's supposed to happen,
which
not a bureaucratic agency. Hey, look, Joe, good talking to you. Thank you. We've got a couple other callers, and I got to take them in. So if you don't mind, we're going to move on.
Thanks,
All
Joe.
Right, take care. God bless. Love you, my friend.
Love you, brother. So right now, Ken, I know you're on the line, and I'd like you to wait until we had asked Rob Cordes, the Trump Bridge guy. He's in California on tour. And we asked him to call in, and Ken, if you can please hold on, or if you want to hang up and call back, we'll get you in, you know, after that. So, Derek, if you put Rob on, please.
Hi, Rob. How
Hello.
Are you doing?
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Talking to you right now is Ed Bondarenka, but the guy who's going to be talking is Alex Wassel. Okay. Go ahead, Alex.
Hi, Rob. I've been watching your videos as you tour the United States of America. You went from Sturgis to what, Portland, Oregon, to, let's see,
Seattle,
Berkeley.
Washington.
Yeah.
Portland. We went to the capital of Sacramento, California. And then the day before yesterday, we went. I wanted to see. I've been wanting to go to Berkeley, California. I've been telling everybody I'm going to go there, so I did. I went to Berkeley, California. I went to the University of California and the college, the Berkeley City College. We drove right through town, playing Aretha Franklin "Freedom," or you know her thing with the
right.
"Freedom" part, and "God Bless America," and "I'm Proud to Be an American." And I was expecting
Antifa.
Something to happen. I was expecting something to happen. And when I saw it, when I got there, I'm driving through the town, I saw hundreds of kids for orientation, following a leader around with a little flagpole, getting to learn the campus and learn the grounds, and hundreds of people on the street, thousands. And you know what they did? They videotaped, they clapped, they cheered, they gave me the thumbs up, some gave some inappropriate gestures, but there was no violence. You know, that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to go there unannounced and show the world what happens when the media doesn't advertise. Oh, there's going to be a big rally in Berkeley, and both sides are going to be there. Just wait and see, you know. Ringside wrestling, boxing, championship fighting in Berkeley. We're promoting it for free on the media, you know. And that didn't happen when I went there. And I went to streets of San Francisco, same thing. Last night I pulled into Bob's Big Boy, which Big Boy's originated in Michigan, but Bob's Big Boy has a car show. And I had a video last night. There's 1,000 people there. Hundreds of them came around, and a bunch of them made donations. I didn't ask for nothing. They just came up and, here's something to help you out. Stay on the road. Thank you for coming. And the people of California, my car broke down on the highway yesterday, and my radiator went out. I'm stuck in the top of a mountain, and the next gas station is, 11 miles in front of me. The other one's 8 miles behind me. And I'm on top of a mountain. The chips came. The police came about 10 minutes after I was broken down and trying to figure things out. And he called the wrecker. Wrecker was there 5 minutes. And about 30, 35 minutes, I was on the road to the town. I pulled in the town. All the gas stations were closed. A Hispanic guy, he's Mexican. I talked to him, Francesco. He came out. He was off. He worked on the car for free. We called the parts store, got the parts. Another guy from Olivero's down the street came, saw him working, came and helped him. And they sent another guy to go get antifreeze and some parts. And they had runners. And I said, what do I owe you guys? Nothing. Keep up the good work.
America. America, yeah. Man.
That's California Hispanic.
Right. Rob, I've been watching every one of your videos, and you've been spreading the love and the message of the Trump Unity Bridge, and I've been seeing people giving you high fives and hugs and everything else. So what you're doing is you're blowing up the left-wing narrative that everybody hates Trump in liberal bastions, and that's absolutely not the case, and you're really spreading a good message.
Here's I'm going to give you one more quick story if you have a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Last
you got time.
I picked up a friend, Kevin, from the airport. He flew in from Detroit on his own dime to come help me because he saw the videos and I was alone. All right? And I'm going to the airport. I left Bob's Big Boy to cruise up to pick him up, and the computer takes me down the street. I get to the end of the nav system. I get to the end of the street. It's barricaded off, and there's a car block in the alley, so I couldn't get through. So all of a sudden, the people from the community started coming out. And what are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, my God, get that out of here. And I said, I can't. The car is blocking me. Well, whose car is it? Nobody knew whose car it was. So I ended up having to start backing up down the street about a half a mile with cars on both sides of the street. And everybody, it's all lit up, red, white, and blue. And I wasn't playing the music because I didn't want to wake people up and disturb them. And, but they all came out anyways. And I had a few comments, but there was no violent comments. It was just like, Trump sucks, something like that. And so they all walked with me while I'm backing down the street at 2 or 3 miles an hour, and the crowd got up to about 50, 60 people at the end of the street. And, all right, good, now you can go. I said, and this guy came out. He guided me back. Come on back, left. He's yelling, and he's about 100 feet behind me. Keep going. He'll pull forward and turn right, and he gave me good direction. And at the end, I just got on the microphone. I said, I want to say something to you people. The people of California, I came here unannounced. You guys are good people. You're kind. And we may disagree on something, but you know what? If you take and look what just happened here, you guys communicated with me, and you helped me get my car backed up out of here safely. And if you could pick a positive message, if you could work on something that's positive, I would help you. And we could work together, and we could make change. If Congress could do that, it would be the same thing. It doesn't matter what message it is. Just work on something positive. And I said, thank you for communicating. And they all took, I said, if anybody would like a flyer to read what I'm really about, come take it. About 80% of them came and took a flyer.
Ooh, buddy.
Yeah.
That was unity, unadvertised, unprovoked. It just happened. And I took advantage of their communication and help. They wanted to get rid of me, so they helped me get out of there. But at the end, they were willing to read my message on my flyer.
Go ahead. That's excellent. I mean, I got to tell you, I got to tell other people who don't know, you have quite the sound system on that rig. Man, talk about high fidelity at like 3 blocks away.
And I love the sound, the song selections. They're all patriotic and upbeat and positive.
Rat Pack.
Yeah, right. And I want to tell people, Rob, to follow you on Facebook and to look at these videos that you're putting out, because it's a great message. People love you and they respond to you. And I hope more people tune into your Facebook page.
Thank you for your kind words. And my Facebook page personally is Rob Cordes. That's just it. And I encourage people to share everything that I do in a video. Just share them so that they get the views, because when people share and they look at it, they can just see people's reactions, and people can make judgments on their own. They can make up their own mind, and they can judge by the actions of others. If you judge President Trump by his actions, he's doing a good job. You know, I've made mistakes in comments. So has President Trump. I think we all have. So put your best foot forward, and let's make America a better place. And today, you'll be able to see a video where I've been honored. The Latinos for Trump and this lady, Randy Berger, she's one of the first patriots I met from California before the inauguration. We met at the inauguration. She put together rallies and pit stops for me. And today she's gotten, we're going to go to the President Trump's star on Hollywood Boulevard, and the police are shutting down the whole street, putting up barricades, and we're going to be displaying the Trump Unity Bridge in the center of town. And I'm going to be able to give speech and let some people give some speaking if they'd like. Let people admire it, take pictures, and we're going to tell them that what I just told you on the radio. You can make a difference. Just put your negative aside, be positive, and we'll work together. And after this trip, I'm going to review the messages on the float. And if there's an update needed for what I've learned in California and on this road trip, we'll change and update some of the messages to modify them to make them better. Because nothing's perfect, you know what I mean? And let's just work at it. And that's it. I mean, I wake up at 7, 8 in the morning, and I go to bed at midnight 1, and I just keep going. And I'm happy to do it, and I'm proud to be an American. And I want to fight for you and your kids, my children, so that America, everyone has a better future. That's my goal.
Amen, Rob. You know, you keep spreading the love and this positive message, and it really moves people. And I urge everybody to look at your videos on your Facebook page.
And if anybody wants to join us, September 7th and 8th, I'm leaving Detroit, and we're going to finish the 448 tour, which is the four corners of America and all 48 states. On this tour, when I come back to Michigan, I will have 46 states under my belt. I went from Key West was the first corner of America. Maine was Washington's the second corner of America. I'm going down to San Diego tomorrow to the Border Patrol, to the wall for the third corner of America. Then when I come back to Detroit, we're going to go to the mother of all rallies, but we're going to shoot up to Maine and Vermont, finish the 48 states, and then drive down to Washington, D.C., where the Trump Unity Bridge will be at the National Mall. For a speaking platform for the Mother of All Rallies, M-O-A-R.
So too bad.
That's the weekend of the September 6th, 7th, 8th. Everybody in America is welcome to join me.
Too bad you couldn't be in the Woodward Dream Cruise.
Yeah. Hey,
I was there last year.
Yeah.
We were there last year. I was thinking about it, but it was like California. This was a monumental location, and it's more monumental than I ever dreamed it would be. I mean, I can't believe how warm of a reception I'm receiving in California. The honking, the horns honking. When I drove across the border, I stopped at a gas station, did a video. It wasn't even a gas station. It was the first store in the middle of the mountains, its own town. And people came up, took flyers, and people made some donations, and that was it.
Oh, that's
so
great.
It was just no, I didn't ask. I just did my story. I'm playing, I'm proud to be an American, and people, I said, yes, I'm here live, and I'm doing my video here, and, you know, and I'm just first time in California, and I'm just so goosebumps, you know what I mean? I made it, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen, you know
that's
what I mean?
Great.
And it was just warm and loving feeling from the people of California.
Well, God bless you, Rob, for what you're doing. May he give you safe journeys and bring you back to us safely. Yeah. We're about ready to go to the half-hour break. And thank you for calling in. Very, very fun, informative call. And once again, that's Rob Cordes on Facebook. Look him up, folks, and then send him bucks. Send him money, you know. Go fund him.
They can TrumpUnityBridge.com is where, if they'd like to make a donation, you can go to TrumpUnityBridge.com.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Love you, Rob.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Love you, too. Bye-bye.
All righty. And so there's the music. We'll come back after the break, and maybe Ken will call back in, hopefully. I'll talk to you later.
People are always on the move, driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Theron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. With former CIA Director John Brennan getting his security clearance yanked, President Trump says there will be more.
Democrats on the Hill have called it an enemies list. Admiral Bill McCraven, the Navy SEAL who oversaw the Bin Laden raid, compared it to McCarthy-era tactics. Among those in the president's sights, former head of the FBI, James Comey, former DNI, James Clapper, among others. Of particular note is a Justice Department prosecutor who works in the Organized Crime Division, who most people had not heard of until recently. Bruce Orr.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin. Kofi Annan, the former U.N. Secretary General, has died.
U.N. Special Envoy Peter Thompson remembering his friend and colleague.
He was one of the great diplomats of our time.
Annan, along with the U.N., won a Nobel Peace Prize in 2001. He was a champion of peace, a protector of human rights, and a staunch supporter of the rule of law.
Fox's Derek Dennis. Fox News, we report, you decide.
The Mule Skinner Boot Shop in beautiful downtown Chelsea is Michigan's finest traditional Western wear store. The Mule Skinner features boots from Lucchese, Nocona, Tony Lama, and Justin in both leather and exotic skins. Women's boots, too. And check out the complete selection of Western hats from Resistall and Stetson with in-store custom creasing available from the Mule himself. Plus, a complete line of Western accessories. Also available at the Mule Skinner is a complete selection of all your concealment needs, including holsters, belts, and custom concealment vests designed by the Mule Skinner. Custom model specific. Specific holders are also available. So for the finest in traditional Western boots and hats, check out the Mule Skinner Boot Shop. Get the perfect fit on your new boots. Get a custom crease on your new hat. Check out all your concealment requirements and custom holsters. Come to Bill Kahn's Mule Skinner Boot Shop, Michigan's finest traditional Western store since 1973.
Now featuring a complete selection of concealment requirements in beautiful downtown Chelsea, right next door to Wines on Main. Western hospitality to you, Mule Skinner style.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is Wellbridge. Wellbridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All Wellbridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Chris Tangeman from Howell.
I had back surgery. I had to go there for like 3 or 4 weeks, and let me tell you, they were just superb. I'm in this industry. I'm an LPN, and I mean, they're just excellent. The aides, the nurses, everybody. I thought especially that their therapy department was just phenomenal, and I would absolutely recommend Wellbridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for Wellbridge in Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, Wellbridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. Wellbridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
Right now, right? Okay, that went too long. Go ahead and cut it, Derek. Wow, I thought I edited that better than that. So welcome back to the Drift Radio Show. And sitting in with us today, myself, when I say us, I mean Ed Bondarenka, and then there's Alex Wasso, who's co-hosting, because Gary is on sabbatical. Gary is actually at his brother, he's actually a friend of mine. His brother's sons makes it his nephew's wedding up in Petoskey. She's having a wonderful time. I've seen videos on Facebook. What a place. I can't afford to breathe the air in Petoskey, much less stay there. So, and then we've got Pastor Rick sitting in with us.
Hello.
Hi.
And I finally get to meet the infamous Alex. Alex, how are you doing?
I'm
this
doing
isn't
good,
Alex yeah. Jones. This is Alex Wassel.
No, Alex, I'm sure. I know you're glad to meet me.
Don't make coffee spew out of my nose when I'm on air. We don't have a coffee spew button. We don't even have a cough button.
That's for sure, Rick.
Yeah.
See, I told you he was glad to meet me.
Okay.
Everyone is.
Ken, you going to call back? We're waiting on pins and needles. But
I'm sitting in the wrong chair. The pins and needles are over in the next one.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. No, that's a Coke bottle. Yeah. So, Derek, do you have the audio for? Oh, I'm sorry. Way out of whack here. Way out of whack. Got to take care of some business here. Okay. For one thing, you want to go on a regular basis to the Daily Drift. .com so that you can get
the news you need to know.
Yes.
And I only say that because I know Alex would forget.
That's right.
Okay. Well, actually, yeah, he didn't catch Joe's cue, but he's never missed a mind. But okay. So it's a Pavlovian response around here anymore, you know? So anyways, we need to pay attention to one of our sponsors so that we'll get paid and you will go and have a good time, which is what you deserve. You deserve to go to Burroughs Roadhouse and have a meal, right? It's a great place to eat. It's a destination. It's almost like a historic spot to go and eat. The Burroughs Corporation had set this up and the whole property as a resort area. So you know it's not your run-of-the-mill diner. This is a good place to eat. They have a Sunday brunch buffet. Sunday night they have a barbecue from 3 to 9 p.m. If you're interested in gluten-free meals, they have a gluten-free menu. They have pizza. They have coupons in the current newspaper, which you need to avail yourself of, $15 off any four dinner entrees, or 15% off Sunday brunch. Take advantage of that. It's Burroughs Roadhouse, and the phone number is, established 1928, the phone number is 810-227-6000, or go to www.burroughs-roadhouse.com.
So let me understand this.
Yes.
If you get a meal with gluten in it, it's free?
I need to talk to Jim about that. I don't think that's true, folks. Don't quote me on that. Let me read that again.
Is Ed McMahon in the studio?
100% gluten-free.
Free meals. There you go.
Well, you guys take your chances with that. All I can tell you is the food's good.
All right.
And don't tell them you heard that one on the Drift Radio Show or the current newspaper. So, I don't know if you caught this last weekend or not, but a pilot went on a joyride. And it's kind of a sad thing, but the thing is he didn't sound like your typical sad, depressed suicide note. The guy left an audio suicide note as he's doing barrel rolls through the skies of Seattle. You heard of this, right?
Yeah, I heard about it.
I saw the video.
Yeah, it's just I was flabbergasted, frankly, by his attitude through the whole thing. Like, when did he make the decision? When he went up, did he decide how he was going to end it? At one point, he said he was going to come in for a landing.
I think the second he realized he forgot that he didn't know how to land, he made a decision.
Could be. Derek, would you play his, I hate to put it this way, his final words?
I got a lot of people that care about me, and it's going to disappoint them to hear that I did this. I would like to apologize to each and every one of them. Just a broken guy, got a few screws loose, I guess. Never really knew it until now. I'm going to land it, in a safe kind of manner. I think I'm going to try to do a barrel roll, and if that goes good, I'll just go nose down and call it a night.
Well, Rich, before you do that, let's think about this. I got another pilot coming up, Pilot Joel, here in just a minute or two, I hope. And we'll be able to give you some advice on what to do next.
Just kind of lightheaded, dizzy. The sights went by so fast, too. I was thinking, I'm going to have
you know, be able to take off in all the sights. There's a lot of pretty stuff, but I think they're prettier in a different context.
It just doesn't strike me as a suicidal person.
Well, I think there. Now I'm talking as a pastor here.
Mm-hmm.
The word I caught is I'm a broke. He says he's broke. He's broken. That's just sad. I mean, going through life, I will sit there and say everybody goes through a point in their life where they realize they're broken, and you know, and then comes a time for choices and a lot of different choices. Now, Ed, you and I can't speak for Alex because I don't know him well enough, but I can speak for you and I think I can speak for Alex. When we decided we were broken in lives, we turned our life over to Jesus.
Exactly.
You know, and now I'm going to get very pastorish on you. I remember that day for me back in 1978. I remember the June 18th, that day where I realized I was a broken man and turned my life over to Christ. I never experienced love anywhere in my life like I did that day. And it's sad when people go through this. People say, what does a suicidal man sound like? I'm telling you, it sounds like just like any other broken man that doesn't know their directions. They don't know where to find directions. And this man, he's up in an airplane, and that's a wrong place to be when you can't find direction in life, is mm-hmm. up there solo in an airplane.
Yeah.
And I think he hit it on the head when he said he was broken. I just wish he would have looked for an alternate route to deal with that brokenness.
Yeah. I mean, the self-awareness that he knew that he was broken, he probably had a few screws loose. It's just, man, I don't, Alex?
Well, the sad part is he didn't allow himself to get better.
No.
To rebuild, to have that moment where he could decide, I'm going to fix myself, and I need help to do that.
I knew a very dear friend of mine. Very dear friend of mine, for whatever reason, decided that he was too broken to be fixed, is all I can guess, because he and with his wife in the house took his own life. People who make this decision are not really thinking about the impact that it's going to make on others. He even mentioned...
He did, though.
But he says, oh, they're going to be upset, and I apologize. But I don't think he really, really understands... could have understood the impact that it was going to have on lives. Because if he did, he'd realize a simple verbal apology is not going to take care of it. Matter of fact, that would just compound the problem. To sit there saying, well, he said he was sorry, but I'm his brother, I'm sorry. That sorry isn't enough. In real life, that sorry would just compound the issue going back. Actually, it did more to punish the people, the survivors.
I'm not convinced... I know that when I listened to the full audio, at one point he was concerned that he, of all the controls, he didn't know where they were on the airplane, was the pressurization of the cabin.
And he starts saying, I'm dizzy and lightheaded.
Right. And I don't know. When he said, you know, I'm thinking about a landing, I'm going to put the nose down. And he talked earlier about, you know, I know when I land this, I'm going to go to prison. Did he kill himself to avoid going to prison, or did he just pass out after the barrel roll? I don't know. You know, I mean, it's you could do a barrel roll and...
It's a lot of G-force.
It is. It is, especially with low pressurization in the cabin. Yep.
Well,
I don't know. I hate to judge him.
Well, no.
Except that he's a criminal who stole an airplane and destroyed...
There's certain things we can sit there and
shareholders
say.
Value.
He's no longer alive.
Yeah.
He understood at one point or another that this might be a one-way ride. And that if it wasn't a one-way ride, he was going to jail.
To be honest with you, I'm totally impressed that the guy could fly the airplane. I'm just totally
I used to be an FAA flight engineer on a P-3. Mm-hmm. Hardest part about flying an airplane is takeoff and landing. After you're in the air, just watch out for the birds.
He took it off. Yeah. Actually, I've heard that takeoff isn't as hard as landing either.
Yeah, landing is a controlled crash every time.
Yep.
His wasn't so controlled. I feel sorry for the family. My prayers go out to his family.
Amen.
But, you know, I think this speaks to a lot of people out there in different ways. And I think that what we have to do is tell people that if you're feeling this broken, there's other alternate ideas to use other than taking your life, because the damage it does when you do that is just astronomical to those around you.
Okay.
I think it's important that we work on healing and right. moving past those low parts in your life.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Pastor Rick has all sorts of ideas for that, but that's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. We talked about suicide a few months ago when Joe called in and talked about his attempt, Joe Lennard, which mm-hmm. I'm not inviting the call back, but I'm just...
Yeah, we all know you don't like Joe. Joe's always welcome to call my show. We like Joe.
You're next.
We like Joe.
So, switching gears here, I want to go to a more cheerful subject, okay? You okay?
Yes.
So let's talk about the church, the Catholic Church, and priest molesting.
Tell me how this is more cheerful.
No, I guess I can't. Well, in this context, you're going to use this opportunity to read you something that I wrote, and it's kind of self-serving, but you may find it interesting. Put it on my blog, and the title of it is How It Happens. And I say, I was 15, and it was a Saturday afternoon, and as a good Catholic boy, an altar boy, I went to confession. I'm pretty sure the priest knew who I was, despite the screen that separated us. I started out the confession as normal and got to the point where I had to get the heavy burden of my horrible sin off my chest. I told the priest that I had masturbated. He let me know what a serious deal this was and offered to discuss it with me in the rectory after confession was over. Probably the only thing that saved me from any abuse was that I was too embarrassed to meet him face to face over the issue that I had confessed to him. It's interesting to note that he quit the priesthood a few weeks later to be a shoe salesman. I wonder how many of my classmates fell for it. I don't know. Never heard. As an addendum, I remember that as an altar boy who served Mass before classes began, we often wondered whether this priest, was going to show up for the morning Mass on time, and I would often have to go to the rectory door where the housekeeper would inform me that the pastor would be there shortly. We knew he had been drinking, and adults did that. The next priest, interestingly enough, was a family friend of ours. The guy went to grade school and high school before he went to the seminary with my sister, my older sister. His name was Marv Josaitis. And I always wondered what happened to Marv. I know that he had left the priesthood. Father Marv had left the priesthood, and he had taught religious studies at Monroe Community College. You never ran into him, did you? You were out in that area, Newport, Monroe. Okay. So anyways, as an ex-priest, he married, and he taught religion. I looked him up just to see what happened to him, and he wrote a book, Breaking Grand Silence, A Former Catholic Priest Speaks Out. And the cover has a picture of, I don't know if this is him, it looks like it could have been him because you only see the nose and mouth down, with red tape over the lips. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that he knew something was going on, and he left the priesthood over it. Some people.
Yeah, it's, I grew up in a Catholic church, too. I left the Catholic Church in 1978. I was on my way to St. John's before I left the Catholic Church. I mean, I was on my way to St. John's Seminary. That was the plans. I was going to be the family priest. Being brought up in a primarily Irish family, I know my last name is German, but I'm more Irish than anything else. My family, my mother's family is Slattery. Every family needs their own priest. Right.
Mm-hmm. I was on that road trip.
I was on that road to become a priest. I came to the point where my theology did not agree with the Catholic Church, so I thought the worst thing in the world I could do to the Catholic Church is to become a priest because I don't agree with it. Mm-hmm. But I will say, growing up, I the priest that I grew up under, and I was an altar boy too, was a wonderful man. Very wonderful man. Matter of fact, he's the one that got me into deciding to look at biblical theology, which is really unique, to have a Catholic priest try to get you into biblical theology and not the catechism.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, I know some born-again Catholic priests.
And we'll be talking about that on my show. We'll have Pastor Max on our show, and we're going to talk about it. There are a lot of people in the Catholic Church that are going to go to heaven. We're not this type that says only Baptists are going to heaven. I'm not too sure about most of them.
Yeah. Well, how about Lutherans? We got Ken from Livonia.
Oh, no, Luther. Luther's got his own little house on top of a hill. He's going to be all by himself up there, aren't you, Ken? Hi, Ken. It's Pastor Rick.
Absolutely.
Told you.
Well, the rest of us will have instructions to be quiet up there so that it doesn't spoil it for him, right?
Well, I will say one difference between us and a lot of the other churches. I will hold firm to the belief that our doctrine is the truth, and it's all in its purity. And other churches, when they talk, they never admit to that belief. In fact, when I was confirmed, I was asked the question, do you believe the teachings of the Evangelical Lutheran Church are the true and unaltered teachings of the Word of God, and that the are the sacraments administered correctly as set forth by God? Now, we hold that to be a firm view on our doctrine, but unfortunately what I see with a lot of Christians today is that they're wishy-washy when it comes to their doctrine.
You know, what I find is in the Bible, we get most of our doctrine from the epistles of Paul. And a lot of churches are wishy-washy on doctrine. Here's what I can say to people. If you do not believe 100% of what your church is teaching, if you think your church is teaching heresy, you don't belong to that church. All right? You don't belong to it. This is why I told you before the show on when you're calling Ken back, I says, I love talking to Ken because he actually believes what he believes and you don't have to question it.
He believes I'm going to hell.
Well, that's okay. Doesn't matter. To you, does it really matter what he thinks?
Yes, it does, but not as affects me.
No.
I'm concerned about Ken and what he's, I like Ken.
Here's the thing. As he firmly believes in what, and Ken, if you disagree with my statement, that's fine, you can. But here's what I like about him, is he stands by his belief. If he didn't believe what he believed, he should be in a different church.
Yep, that's absolutely
okay. I can understand that, because this is why I left the Catholic Church, is because I could not believe everything that they taught within the catechism.
And we'll talk about that next hour, right?
But so I went to somewhere where I could sit behind and said, I believe this doctrine 100%. And I can't be wishy-washy on. So, hey, I appreciate Ken. I really do.
All right, Ken, anything else?
Well, I was just calling a comment regarding the upcoming elections. And I'm personally, when it comes to Bill Schuette and the Republicans, sitting that one out. I'm going to go and vote against the legalization of marijuana in the state of Michigan and any other thing that's on the ballot. But when I hear Bill Schuette on another radio station during a couple of interviews with his vice, what's her name? I can't remember her name. We went through that already.
But
the thing is, though, is when I keep hearing from them our need to reach across the aisle and we got to work with the Democrats, that's it. I'm done. End of story. Because you just told me exactly who you are.
Okay, Ken.
And as far,
Well, so basically, suppose Whitmer. Chose Abdul El-Sayed as her running mate. So you wouldn't have a problem standing against the election of a Muslim as a member of our executive branch?
Well,
lesser of two evils?
Looking at my belief as a Orthodox Lutheran, that no matter how hard the Christians fight this war on earth, we're destined to lose. If the Democrats win, so be it.
Well, here... Wow. Just because we are destined to win doesn't mean we don't fight. And we have to fight evil in every form. I will sit there and say Islam to me is a cult of the devil. And I mean, if there's...
It is.
Absolutely. So do we want to be the ones held responsible for, by sitting back, allowing and exercising in Muslim leadership? Take a look at what happened in Hamtramck. Hamtramck used to be a strong Catholic city, and now it's Muslim. They have a Muslim government. They're actually putting up prayer towers for call of prayer.
Minarets.
And now more and more Michigan, that area of Michigan is becoming more and more Muslim. The more government they get in the government, the bigger, more it spreads. I see putting someone who has a direct tie to the Muslim Brotherhood, the Muslim Brotherhood, as a dangerous thing for this state, and we need to vote against that in every way possible.
So this guy had Sarsour come to boost him for the primary, right? Linda Sarsour? And then she is linked to, you know, her mentor was one of the guys who was an unindicted co-conspirator for the first World Trade Center bombing, and who was the father of the guy who's in New Mexico in the compound training little kids to shoot up schools. But no, he has no links, right? There are nothing to link Abdul Sayed to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Organizations he was involved in school and everything else.
There again, from my point of view, as a Christian, now, we believe focusing all of our attention through the churches of promoting the gospel.
Absolutely.
Teaching what the Bible teaches.
But being salt and light.
Well, as you know, we Lutherans don't believe in allowing our churches to be involved with politics. We stay out of politics.
Okay. Aren't we called to be good, but as Christians, are we not called to be, even though we're citizens of the kingdom, okay, but we're also called to be good citizens of the land that we're in.
One second.
And in this country, we are to be considered a good participating citizen is to vote. I think if we vote, we can vote our morals and our standings, or vote against something that would attack our morals and standings.
Hey, Ken? Ken?
Yeah.
I want to get Gary in on the conversation, okay? He's been waiting patiently. I didn't want to bump you off because you had called earlier, but we only have a few minutes left. Is that okay?
You can bump me off. Yeah, go ahead. Bump me off.
All right, thanks. We'll talk to you later. Bye. All right, Gary.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I respect Ken, too, because he sticks to his convictions, and I don't have a problem with that at all. But what I'm calling about is the priesthood, and there's a theory out there, and I heard compelling evidence this week that what had happened to them was a plan. It was orchestrated conspiracy. Hundreds of people were put in position to orchestrate and send homosexuals into the priesthood just to destroy the church from within.
Give me one second. When you were on your way to St. John's,
mm-hmm.
did you visit St. John's?
Yes.
Okay, I have a friend who went there also who is a homosexual, and he was blown away by how many homosexuals there were at that same time period when both you and I were considering the priesthood. It's just phenomenal how many...
Well,
overwhelming it was.
One of the things, I'll tell you what, I was an 18-year-old boy looking at going into the priesthood, and I go and said, tell me more about this vow of celibacy. And I said, wait. I'm 18 years old, my hormones are raging, and you're telling me never?
Well, that's why I had to go to confession in the first place, because my hormones were raging.
So, I mean, I can't say that it was the vow of celibacy. That's the only thing. What turned me off from the priesthood, actually more than anything else, was the fact that I had learned from a Catholic priest how to study theology through biblical sources rather than the catechism. And he's gotten a lot of flack from a lot of Catholics.
In itself.
Yeah, in the Catholic Church, that is. Mm-hmm. Because in the Catholic Church, secular or holy tradition weighs equal to Scripture. Mm-hmm. And they use a much more different type of hermeneutics than I use. They use what's called a canonical hermeneutics, which mm-hmm. means they make the Bible fit their beliefs rather than make their beliefs fit to the Bible.
As opposed to solo scriptorum.
Right. But it was because of that differences. But is that vow of celibacy? Is that vow of celibacy that causes the problem that they're facing now?
I think so. Well, the music is playing. I want to thank both you gentlemen, our callers, our listeners, for your participation, even if it was just listening. I want to thank Derek Stoner for producing as well as he did, bringing the callers and the music in on time, not hanging up on anybody. I want to encourage you to visit thedailydrift.com for somebody.
The news you need to know.
I was going to give you a chance, Alex.
You jumped in. You stepped on me.
We'll see you next week.